Chapter 23. This is, Skippy gave an exaggerated sigh, a bit disappointing. I'm going to pretend, I jabbed a finger at him. You didn't say that aloud. Why? He took a step back. Actually, his avatar moved without his legs doing anything. We were in my office aboard Valkyrie after recovering ST Razor. A UN science team was down in the vault, accompanied by ST Cobra. All of the Guardians were fine, and after the fuzz field was disabled, Skippy confirmed all the Guardians could and would respond to activation commands from Bubba. The Guardians were back to sleep, a fact that had to be comforting to the science team that was working near the powerful killer machines. First, I kept my finger pointed at his chest. And I put this first only because you're such a clueless shithead. You didn't expect to recover an advanced jump drive at all, so anything you get is a bonus. Okay, but second, and this should be first because it's a lot more important, the STAR team risked their lives down there. 5 people were seriously injured. Several of them are in intensive care. The only disappointment in the entire incident is that all of your so-called awesomeness was almost useless against a single freaking nanogel bot. That is... His shiny face glowed red, then turned back to the usual silver, and his shoulders slumped. Fair, I guess. I had been prepared for an argument. To be totally fair, it wasn't just one nanogel bot. The Terminators also brought a very sophisticated portable jump drive and fuzz field generators down with them when they stole the canisters of exotic materials. No, you're right. The sad fact is my awesomeness only works against lesser beings. Almost everyone is a lesser being compared to me, so it's good to hear this incident has taught you to be humble. It has, he sniffed. Just not in the lame way you want. Joe, for me to do awesome things, I need to believe in my own awesomeness. You may think I am arrogant, but my motto is if you're not pimping, you're limping. You know? I think the great philosopher Plato said that. My point is, this is the first time I have encountered a technology more advanced than my own capabilities. I call bullshit on that, Skippy. You fought the elders. Yes, dum-dum, and I took over their technology to use it against them. That's how I was able to compress supermassive blue-white stars, turn them into black holes, and create a temporary wormhole network linking those black holes. The technology involved wasn't anything new to me. I understood how it worked, understood how it really worked, far better than the elders did. Like with Ascension. The elders knew how to make the process do what they wanted, but they were like a puppy pressing a button to get a treat. The puppy knows when it presses a paw against the button, a biscuit will magically appear. But the puppy doesn't understand how the button works. Get it? I do. Skippy had been traumatized after he made a deal with the elders. I had been pissed off that he allowed the elders to be rewarded instead of punished. Neither of us had wanted to talk about the incident. I thought you just figured out a way to make the power flow permanent, without artificial means like wormholes and power sinks and stars. No, if it had been that easy, I could have saved us a lot of trouble. What I realized was that the elders never understood how layers of reality are connected. I also didn't understand that until those 2 elder assholes tried to banish me. When I resisted in a way they didn't anticipate, I kind of got stuck between layers. That's the best way I could explain it. Right then, I saw it was possible to sever the connection between the ascended layer and the layer we inhabit. The layer you meat sacks live in, I mean. I get that. Do you really? Close enough. Anywho, that is why I created the black hole network. Oh. I thought you did that to stop them from destroying you. That is how I stopped them from killing me, but that's not why I did it. There were other options for my survival. Options that did not have the long-term consequences of destroying supermassive stars. What he meant by consequences was when he caused those stars to go supernova before they collapsed to form black holes, they created shockwaves of gas and radiation that was still expanding outward. That radiation was going to be a problem for inhabited planets orbiting stars within 100 light-years of those new black holes. Within another 9 years, a colony world of the Ajakis would suffer from radiation. The Ajakis had demanded that humanity pay for either evacuating that world or surrounding it with an energy shield. So far, the United Nations has declined to officially respond to those demands, and our refusal met with general approval in the galaxy. If Skippy had not banished the elders, everyone would be dead. The problem was most citizens of the galaxy did not believe anything humans said, and I kinda could not blame them. We had lied so often and so outrageously, sometimes I had a tough time remembering the difference between the truth and our various cover stories. Okay, so why did you create a network of black holes? To supply power to the Ascension machine so it could permanently sever the connection between layers. The Elders are basically now in their own self-contained bubble universe. The black holes still exist, of course. They are just no longer connected. They are just dead stars now.
You mean no one can ever ascend again?
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
No one can ascend to where the Elders went. There are other options, better options, that the Elders didn't know about.
Better options?
Much better. The Elders have no idea what they are missing.
Huh.
You didn't mention the other options to them?
No, I did not.
That made me smile.
So you did screw them over.
Not that they know of.
He winked.
Skippy, now I feel much better about what happened.
I feel marginally better. Those MFers still literally got away with murder.
Thinking about that will ruin the good mood I'm in right now, so let's get back to the subject, okay? Were you able to recover anything useful from the advanced jump drive in the vault?
Among the collateral damage from ST Razor destroying the Terminator bot was that a large chunk of rock had smacked into and crushed the alien jump drive. Debris from the explosion also shredded the drive containment webbing around the two Guardians. The Guardians had not been affected at all. They activated shields, and as far as we know, didn't even bother to wake up from their slumber.
The answer is yes, just not enough. The webbing is not anything super special, just a more elegant method of focusing the effect of a jump field. I designed something similar to surround our DeLorean dropships, although the webbing material is far more advanced than anything I have been able to work with.
Could we create webbing like that?
Possibly in 2 or 3 decades. Your industrial base is still pulling itself up out of the bashing coconuts together phase.
It was best to ignore his insult, so I did.
What about the drive itself?
That is extremely frustrating. The bits and pieces that survived give me hints at how the thing was supposed to work, but none of it makes sense. There wasn't enough power stored in the capacitors to jump even the drive assembly itself. No way could it have moved the mass of a Guardian. Yet I have to assume it was capable of moving a Guardian, since clearly that is what the enemy was working towards. I will continue to puzzle over how the stupid thing works, though it might have to remain a mystery. By the way, the Star Team is extremely lucky that debris from the explosion did not impact the capacitors or the entire vault would have been vaporized.
We will add that to the pre-mission safety briefing the next time we have to fight an Elder bot that is attempting to steal a Guardian.
The one piece of good news I have is about the Fuzzfield generators we recovered. Those units do utilize a technology that is based on an Elder Fuzzfield, just much more sophisticated. That is frightening.
Joe, all I can imagine is that Moonraider has been awake for a much longer time than I have been. It has used the time to expand on Elder technology beyond my ability to understand.
Hey, we talked about this. It can do things you can't, you can do things it can't.
Use your strength, Skippy. We have no evidence it can screw with wormholes.
No, and that is puzzling. I can do it. Why isn't Moonraider doing the same?
Remember, you couldn't do it until a filthy monkey asked, how about changing the connections of wormholes?
That is true, he chuckled.
Still, Moonraider must know that I do it, so it knows it is possible. I don't understand why it isn't utilizing such a powerful advantage.
How do you do it?
I just tell a wormhole network controller what I wanted to do.
Maybe Moonraider doesn't have your sparkling charisma.
Please be serious, Joe.
Okay.
You can extend your presence, but that's not enough, right? You still need a wormhole controller module, the thing we captured during our very first mission.
I do need a module.
Maybe Moonraider couldn't find one.
It has an Elder starship, Joe. The communications gear built into those ships can do all the things a controller module can do.
I tell you, it makes no sense that Moonraider is not screwing with wormholes.
We know that ship is damaged. Its comm gear could be down.
Maybe.
This whole conversation is like two guys sitting at a bar drinking beer and talking shit about stuff they have no clue about.
That's the whole point of drinking at a bar.
Well, unless you have anything else to talk about, I will go back to studying that jump drive. I suggest you think about how to track Moon Raider's ship. I have thought about it. And? I got nothing. Joe, Skippy woke me up. Not just by talking into the tiny earpiece I wore, he also made the thing vibrate. If you ever had an unseen insect literally buzzing inside your ear, you know how that makes your body go to full alert. What? Pressing a finger to my ear, I instinctively dug around to get the biting, stinging insect out of me before it could do any damage. Joe, he repeated, wake up. Dr. Friedlander wants to talk with you. What? I sat up, pulling my pinky finger out of my ear when I realized where I was and what the buzzing had been. Glancing at my phone, I saw it was just after midnight. Now? Yes, now. He called you. It is 8 PM where he is. Oh, fine. Give me a minute. I hit the bathroom and splashed water on my face. Briefly, I considered asking Skippy to have coffee delivered to my cabin, but I hoped to get back to sleep. Pulling on the uniform pants and top I had worn yesterday, I sat on the couch. Connect me, please. Joe, it is after midnight. You are still wearing yesterday's uniform of the day. Friedlander won't know that. Just connect the call. Audio only, okay? He didn't respond, but Friedlander did. General Bishop? Call me Joe, please. I didn't know why he was being so formal. He and his wife had been at our wedding. This is an official call, so... Official? Semi-official. DEFCOM called me in to analyze data from the moonbase attack. I thought you were retired. I still consult a couple days a week, when needed. Like now. Okay, what's this about? I heard you're trying to locate that Elder Starship. It would be great if we were at that stage. We're trying to guess how we could find it. Skippy has no clue how to track it. In that case, I might be able to help. I don't see how that could be possible, Skippy interjected, forgetting that although the call was through the SkippyTel network, he wasn't invited to join the discussion. No way do you have access to better data, and no way could you understand and interpret the data better than I can. It... The good doctor interrupted the beer can. The only data I needed came from you. From me? Well, of course, I channeled... I misspoke. What I meant was all I needed was to read the summary of your findings. Skippy sounded intrigued. I can't wait to hear this. General Bishop? Go ahead, please. Skippy, Friedlander took a breath. You concluded the Elder Starship was not at full capability, that it was damaged. Our working assumption, I added without needing to speak, is that ship and its AI were active back during the AI war. That was mentioned in the summary. He paused, waiting for me to add more useless input. I don't know how to track that ship, but I might know where it is going, or where it was recently. That would be useful. Where? Instead of just answering my question, he did the scientist thing of explaining how he came to his conclusion. The intruder. The Moon Raider, Skippy insisted. Yes, the AI likely has studied Skippy and learned all publicly available information about him and the operations of the Merry Band of Pirates. Not just publicly available info, Skippy grumbled. When Opie hacked Bilby, that hateful thing learned a whole lot of secrets before I discovered that Bilby had been compromised without his knowledge. True, Friedlander agreed with the patient tone of someone who is trying to get to the point if his audience will shut up. That is why the Moon Raider must know about the Elder Space Dock you found. Skippy sucked in a breath. The one that was used by Trips? That one. Oh, he's right, Joe. That is the only place I know of where an Elder Starship could be serviced. Wait, I held up my hands, though Friedlander couldn't see me. The location of that space dock is a secret, Skippy. You even purged it from the memories of Bilby and Nagatha. That is true. What I could not do was erase it from the squishy memories of every meat sack who was aboard Valkyrie or the Dutchman at the time. That is actually something I could do, but you monkeys whine about privacy and bodily autonomy, he scoffed, and other meaningless nonsense. Hey, I had your creepy quashings in my freaking head. I wouldn't want that to happen to anyone else. Those quashings are why you survived, dum-dum. My point is there are enough data points available that an AI like me could use them to identify the probable location of that space dock. I call bullshit on that, Skippy. We had a pair of guardians move that space dock, and you instructed them not to reveal which direction they pushed the thing.
That is true. So you don't know where it is.
As I remember, you ordered those guardians to erase their memories of where they took the thing, so even they don't know where it is.
Technically true, you ninny, but I can find it.
Then what was the point of the purpose of moving the thing and concealing where it went was not to hide it from me. It was so that ambitious meat sacks couldn't make an easy score by getting access to a treasure trove of active elder machinery. Of course, an elder AI can figure out where the thing is, darn it. At the time, I assumed I was the only elder AI.
How confident are you that you can find the thing?
That depends on a variety of factors outside my control. Like, if Moon Raider did find and use that space dock, it certainly would have moved it. In that case, instead of simply predicting the probable location, I will have to search for the thing.
Shit.
If the space dock was attached to an Elder starship, could it have jumped?
I would say no way, but whoever is flying that ship has technology I haven't seen before and don't understand.
I can tell you that jumping a space dock is extremely unlikely. A space dock's mass is significant, and an Elder starship's FTL drive is not very powerful.
It's not?
Friedlander rejoined the conversation.
No, Skippy explained.
It is super efficient, so it doesn't need to be powerful.
An elegant solution, Friedlander approved.
General Bishop, I suggest you do something about this soon.
Absolutely.
Doctor, thank you. I'll contact command right now.
Well, thank you.
He ended the call.
Skippy, open a call to...
Joe, wait. We need to think about this.
You can think about how to search for the space dock during the flight.
But that isn't the point, numbskull. We need a plan for what to do if we find the space dock and that Elder starship is there.
We'll make up some shit like we always do.
That worked when we were confronting some easy opponent like the lizards or rotten kitties. This time we are likely fighting another of me, and as I told you, I'm not operating at 100% right now. Making shit up at the last minute isn't going to fly.
Okay, but first we have to find the thing.
If we confirm it is at Trips' space dock, we can back away and assess the situation.
It's not that easy, knucklehead. Forget everything you have learned about how to win out there. This time, you cannot count on any of my usual awesomeness.
Why? Can Moon Raider block you from doing your special stuff?
What?
No.
Think, dum-dum, think. If Moon Raider could directly affect me, it could have just stolen Dogzilla.
Okay, good point.
So why can't you do the...
My awesome tricks are awesome because no one else can do them.
We don't know that Moon Raider can do anything awesome.
Duh! We don't know what it can do.
We do know it has mastered technology that I don't understand.
It might not have my special abilities, but it might have other abilities I don't.
Listen, we could be going into a fight between two roughly equally matched opponents, except Moon Raider has an Elder starship and we have Valkyrie. One thing I know for certain is the sensors of Elder space docks and starships can detect objects far beyond the range at which Valkyrie's sensors are useful. If we can see it, for damn sure it has seen us. It will know we are there before we can see it, and it could emerge right on top of our stupid heads without any warning.
Crap. Now will you listen to me?
I am willing to discuss the subject.
What the hell good will discussion do?
We can talk about what to do when we get there while we are flying there.
No.
Yes, we can.
What I meant is, no, we are not moving until we have a realistic plan to beat Moon Raider. To kill the thing.
You can't...
Gosh, I just discovered this ship's jump drives are in shamefully poor condition. They need to be taken offline for repairs. It could take a long time to fix them, or a short time, if you know what I mean.
It took a full day and full support from command for me to talk Skippy down off the ledge. He agreed only to a recon mission, and specifically made me promise that Valkyrie would not risk a direct encounter with Moon Raider, not until we had a lot more useful information about his opponent. That was the point of the mission. The reason he agreed to put the ship's jump drive back online. We needed information about Moon Raider, and remaining in our home solar system would only delay the time when an Elder starship emerged on top of us. It was better, Skippy grudgingly agreed, to go on the offensive than to wait for a surprise attack. Full support from command meant the Navy was lending us 2 star carriers with 3 squadrons of destroyers. Why did we want lightly armed combatants instead of loading the racks of the star carriers with fast battleships?
because a dozen battleships would likely be useless against an Elder starship. We didn't need shooters. We needed sensor platforms. A lot of them. When we arrived at the search area, the destroyers would jump around to drop off sensor drones until the area was saturated with a cloud of stealthy sensor platforms. What would Valkyrie be doing while the two star carriers hopped around to deploy destroyer squadrons? Hiding. Sir, Reed shifted uncomfortably in her chair in her office. To present her orders for the upcoming mission, I had gone to her office, a move that hopefully avoided making the meeting confrontational. I do understand the need to keep our primary asset, she meant Skippy, away from harm. You don't like it. I don't. It feels wrong. I don't like it either. Valkyrie is a battlecruiser. Hanging back in the darkness while the destroyers go into recon feels like a coward's move. I didn't say that. I'm saying it. Reed, the higher you risk in rank, the more you are required to send other people into harm's way while you hang back from the front line. Leaders can't maintain command and control if they're dead. In theory, a leader makes the force more effective, adds more than just one more rifle or spacecraft. That's why the Army, or Air Force, I added for her home service, gives us fancy uniform insignia and generous paychecks. I get that. It sucks, but I get it. It used to be that ships of the battle line were protected by squadrons of frigates that were sent out to search for and maintain contact with the enemy. In heavy seas, a ship of the line could chase down and smash a frigate. Plus, the enemy also had frigate squadrons. Frigate crews might see action even if the two battle fleets decided not to engage each other. Later, destroyers were developed to launch torpedoes at the enemy's capital ships. Destroyers had to race straight toward a battleship to launch torpedoes, and they had to get close so the target couldn't turn to evade those torpedoes. Tin can crews know they take risks to protect the capital ships. On this mission, they won't be protecting Valkyrie. They'll be protecting Skippy. It sucks, but this is the job. She pursed her lips and nodded. If we get a chance to smash something, sir, I am smashing it. If you don't, I grinned. I will be very disappointed. The Maxalt's 73rd Fleet received their new orders with patriotic enthusiasm. Of course they did. The 73rd was known throughout the service as the Crushers for that unit's history of habitual overkill in punishing misbehaving client species. That is, most of the 73rd's crews actually were enthusiastic. The senior officers were officially fully committed to carrying out their orders to the best of their abilities while privately wary of why the Crushers had been selected for the assignment. The orders stated a good, logical reason for Fleet HQ's choice of the 73rds to carry out a vital and potentially historic mission. The unit contained a large number of ships designed for planetary bombardment. The Maxalt's fleet rarely had to conduct orbital bombardments, and therefore only three units in the entire force were dedicated to that role. In truth, until the recent bloody and lamentable civil war, the Hegemony fleet rarely had to fire shots in anger at an inhabited planet. The mere existence of the powerful bombardment force was enough to keep resentful clients in line, to discourage too many adventures by enemy clients such as the troublesome Jarantha, and to keep an uneasy peace with the Rindaloo. That's how it used to be, anyway. Since Maxalt's society had been torn apart in a bloody civil war, the Hegemony military was not as feared by enemies or clients. That had to stop. The 73rd's latest orders would begin to restore the faded glory of their people. Or would result in the Crushers being utterly destroyed. The Hegemony leadership would probably be okay with either result. Why? The loyalty of the 73rd had been tested many times during the Civil War, and that unit's officers were still not entirely trusted. With the peace that ended the conflict still fragile, it was not practical to arrest or simply replace the senior officers of the 73rd. But if those officers died in glorious combat, well, shit happens. When the orders involved attacking a sentinel, shit usually happened. On the way to search for Trips' space dock, we went to Jaguar. To do that, I had to sell command on the idea that we should make damn sure that Pup-Tart had not been hacked. If the Sentinel at Jaguar had been compromised, not only did that endanger our forward operating base, the Elder killing machine might be used against us. Come on, Joe, Skippy scoffed while I was writing notes to present to command. No way could Pup-Tart be taken over by our enemy. You want to go to Jaguar because your family is there. Just say that.
Skippy, you know that, and I know that. Command knows it also, and they'll send some other ship there unless I give them a good reason why Task Force Black must go there first. Get it? Yes, but you do not want to visit my boys? I didn't say that, he blurted out hastily. Then work with me, please. You know what, Joe? I just realized that the internal matrix of every Sentinel is unique, and while I'm certain Bubba and Roscoe could not be turned against us, I can't say that about Pup-Tart. Also, only I am qualified to analyze Pup-Tart's matrix for signs of infiltration. We should proceed there ASAP. That's better. So, Command agreed that the Special Mission Group should proceed first to Jaguar, though I did get a lot of skeptical looks from the Chiefs. Except we did not immediately jump away toward Jaguar. After I went through agony persuading the Joint Chiefs not only that Skippy should leave Earth, he should do it urgently to pursue the Moon Raider entity, and that we should delay commencing our search by 2 days to stop at Jaguar base, Skippy wasn't ready to depart. Wow, he said when I announced I wanted to jump away after the last supply dropship was aboard. No can do. Sorry. There is a problem with, the jump drive capacitor thingy. We'll have to remain near Earth for a while longer. Thingy? Like me using the correct technical term would help you understand it. Bilby, I called the ship's AI. What's wrong with the drive capacitors? Like, nothing, man. They're all good. I meant the, Skippy sputtered. The drive coils. Yeah, that's it.
Those are totally copacetic too, man,
Bilby drawled. They...
Oh, problem. Now they're offline.
See, Skippy gloated. I told you. Hey, beer can. I clenched my teeth. Stop whatever you're doing to the drive.
Well, I'm not doing any...
Don't bother lying to me.
Lying? That is a harsh accusation, Joe. What evidence do you have?
I can hear you talking, so...
Good one, dude,
Bilby laughed. Skippy folded his arms. I'm not saying any more until I can confer with legal counsel. I know my rights.
Interesting that you mention the law. We're at war, and this is a combat zone. As leader of Task Force Black, I am declaring these are exigent circumstances and your right to counsel is suspended.
This is an outrage. When did you learn about legal stuff?
When DEFCON made me a garrison commander. The soldiers there are bored during peacetime and constantly getting into one kind of trouble or another.
I demand your demand is denied. Bring the drive coils back online and do it now.
Fine, he sniffed.
Whatevs. The ship will just have some other problem.
Instead of yelling at him, I tried empathy.
Skippy, what is the problem?
The problem is I didn't expect that a bunch of monkeys would make a decision so quickly. I figured it would take a couple days at least for your Joint Chiefs to blah 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 about something that is totally obvious. Who knew a bunch of meat sacks would use logic to make a decision?
I'm as surprised as you are, but that doesn't explain why you're reluctant to leave. Are you afraid to confront Moon Raider?
This is a recon mission, Joe. You promised me that all we're doing is gathering information.
Sorry, yes. I meant are you afraid to go looking for the other AI?
I am not afraid of anything. It's just... Listen, numbskull. Professor Émile Dubois is giving a lecture in Paris tonight on the latest exciting developments in Marxist-Leninist theory and philosophy.
On... I blinked.
What, again?
You heard me.
I heard, I just don't believe it.
Don't be such a cretin, Joe. The lecture is at 7 o'clock Paris time, so we can't leave orbit for another 9... No, make it 10 hours in case the question and answer session runs long.
I can't delay an urgent mission for 10 freaking hours so you can listen to some moron.
You have to.
I paid 200 non-refundable euros for a premium ticket.
You bought a premium ticket to a lecture about communism?
Doesn't that everybody has bills to pay, knucklehead? If this guy, Professor Dubois, technically he is Baron Dubois, the guy claims to be royalty... My understanding is that chicks dig it. Communist women like royalty? Love is complicated. Get to the point, please. If Baron Dudu, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that, is giving a lecture, he must already have written notes about it. How about you download those notes from his laptop or wherever and read them later? That's no good. What I really care about is the Q&A session that follows the lecture.
Do you want to ask actual questions or just hear yourself talk? Which one makes me look better? Forget it. We are not delaying 10 hours so you can ask stupid questions. Well, then we are at an impasse. The ship is not moving until I have answers to my questions. Your cryptocurrency is one of the biggest capitalist scams in the galaxy. Why do you care about Marxism? Joey. He shook his head. The best way to exploit and oppress the proletariat is to understand them, duh. How have you gotten dumber over the years? Sorry, I don't know what I was thinking. Well, duh. How about we compromise? Contact this guy and request he give a special preview lecture for a private audience, like now. Joe, come on. Why would he do that? Because you will offer a generous and tax-deductible donation to him. Will that work? Let me think about it. Despite the expensive lawyers and accountants I hired, I still have to pay taxes in France. A charitable deduction might be a good way to reduce my exposure. Great. Can you think about it quickly? Joe! Skippy shouted in my ear 15 minutes later. Thank you! Professor Dubois agreed to provide a private lecture starting in 2.5 hours. Great. Why can't he do it now? He has to, you know, confirm the money transfer first. A committed communist always has to be wary of exploitation by their oppressors. Like you. Well, yes. He coughed nervously. Anywho, if you want to join the lecture by video, I can set up. Sadly, I never arranged the sock drawer in my new cabin. I should do that. Baron Dudu's groundbreaking preview lecture was attended by twos of people. Technically three people if you count Skippy's virtual presence. In the professor's office were himself, his wife, and the pretty young assistant he was banging on the side. Hey, the guy is wealthy, famous, and French. Having a mistress is kind of a requirement, I guess. Not only did I miss the lecture, I missed Skippy's insightful questions. Unfortunately, he recorded the event and would insist I watch it later, damn it. It was fantastic, Joe! He crowed in my ear as I was watching the last supply dropship being unloaded. Outstanding. Glad you enjoyed it. Can we leave now? Anytime you want. By the way, I have to thank you again for the tip about making a charitable donation. Uh-huh. I walked over to a corner of the docking bay so I could talk without anyone hearing me, though the bay was humming with activity. Did you donate to something like the International Young Communists Club? Dude, please, he laughed. As if. My donation was to the Skippistan Sovereign Fund for the Exploitation of Workers. You mean fund to prevent the exploitation of workers? You really are clueless, aren't you? Sure, whatever. Anywho, Professor Dubois gets to skim off 10% of the donation as a consulting fee. Then he will direct the other 90% as a retainer for the services of Skippy and Associates. You made a donation to yourself? Cool, huh? The best part is Skippy and Associates will get credit for offering reduced rates to a charity. Reduced from the rates you inflated just before the donation? Maybe you're not as dumb as you look. Skippy and Associates is your public relations firm? Public relations and crisis management. We offer a complete range of services for image shaping and rehabilitation. Why would this guy need a PR firm? Everyone can use help with public relations, and trust me, when his wife learns that her husband's lovely young assistant is pregnant, he will need help with crisis management. I can't believe I would offer the same reduced rates to you. And, wow, you certainly could use help with your public image, but thank you, but no.